We're on Yud Tesavut Aleph. We are up to the third line from the top. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Kol ha-masaper achri ha-meis, ki-il masaper achri ha-ev. Interesting sentence. It says that anyone who speaks badly about someone who has passed away, ki-il masaper achri ha-ev. It's like you're speaking about a rock, stone. So, Iki the army, there are those who say, what's the meaning of this? Because the loyada, because they don't know, which was the whole question of what we were discussing last week. Do they know what we're saying about them? The Iki the army, the other, there are some say that no, they really do know. But the truth is, Olivchus, look, they could care less what you have to say, you know? What do I care
so
about what you have to say?
The question is, so when I estimated a funeral, is it for the Mesos?
It's generally it's for the Mesa's family. Nonetheless, you have to be very cautious not to say something.
No, I said that the goof is hovering above the neshama until the body is actually buried.
Correct. That's correct.
So then the Mesa technically is hearing the administrator.
Yeah. Sure. And therefore, it would also be it's an embarrassment for the Mesa to hear something. Who's that? What are you talking about? I'm not designing it.
So that's the situation.
Yeah.
Then why is it that some people in their will, or their tzibui, say, I do not want any hespedim at my funeral?
In other words, if in fact it is, I mean, we certainly know it, forget about halacha, you know that it does have a positive effect on those who are grieving. Right? Because it's an opportunity for them to express and to learn, to share.
Right. Then why would somebody put a tzibui in? No hespedim allowed.
Because they're none of. They don't want people to say. Did you ever go to a hespedim and somebody says something bad about somebody? You know, it's like at a bar mitzvah. Do you ever get up there? Parents, everybody's wonderful. Bar mitzvah kids are wonderful. Everybody's you ever say the guy that is an axe murderer? He's no darn good or anything else. Same thing in a hespedim. Did you ever go to a funeral in your life?
If you go into a
power, that's why they write that.
If you go into a power of hesped, okay, then you infer already things.
Rarely do you hear a power of a hesped. Unless they look to find some excuse about it, and then some people are on of them. They don't want to. Oh, it's great. You don't need tzedakah. It was a chesed. All these that you know, people are on ibus. They don't want it. They don't want their thing in their life. They didn't want it in their death. They don't want it. That's understandable. They don't want people to talk about them.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's the reason. Yeah. They're not up.
Right.
But now, according to what you're saying, is that if the Hashem is hearing it, then why...
Listen, the Hashem is hearing it. He says, I don't want you to brag about me. I did everything in my life as an Anav, and I want, even in death, I want to be an Anav. I don't want people to make testimonials to me. I don't want, you know, this. I want a very shuffle guy. I don't want anybody to know about me. Whatever I did, for, you know, but that was the way I lived my life. And the same way in death, I also want to have the same thing that I don't want people to, I'm not a bragger.
Then why is it that certain months you're not allowed to make a husband?
So, the simcha.
Yes, sir.
Why in a chalamayit, why in a chalamayit should you be able to make a
husband?
Because it's different than tzibura, really, also. It's a matter of that it's yomtif and you don't have time and you got to bury the body. That's also one of the reasons.
It brings out crying. It brings out emotion that is the opposite of what we're trying to get from a specific holiday, a certain Yom Tov or a month, something which to have to focus so such a pain.
If the husband is for the family,
yes,
and it can give them some solace.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're talking a roundabout.
Then
it gives them a little more simcha. Then
why does it give them simcha? It doesn't give them simcha.
Comfort is not necessarily simcha.
Comfort is better than just being in a veil. We're discussing things, positive, negative, maybe how this that. How are they no good? I mean, we're not coming with any concrete information. We're coming with a lot of variables on something.
With regard to what you're talking about?
Towards everything that we just discussed now.
talking about the Hespin? Or are we talking about the sentence that we just said?
The sentence.
The sentence that, well, we said a couple. We said that anyone who speaks about negatively.
Well, first of all, how do we know it's negatively?
Let's see Rashi. Rashi, just based on the language, it sounds like you're just
talking
speaking,
about something. Talking. Right.
So Rashi feels that it must be specifically the very top Rashi, top line, Hamasafer Achar Meis, Begnuso Shel Meis, Achar Misaso. Gnus.
Gnai.
In a negative way.
Right.
So that's what it's called Masaper Achar Meis. You're speaking about this Meis. Which, by the way, is very fascinating.
And where does he get this from?
That what? How does Rashi know that it's speaking about? I guess you'd have to. The line that we saw, so the Ikid Arami, the second explanation, is that Amaze knows what you're saying, well, Ifchus Lahu, but he doesn't care. What does that mean, well, Ifchus Lahu? It sounds like you're not saying something parav, which is something which maybe a person who was alive would be machbid, would be offended and hurt.
Well, but for Amaze, well, Ifchus Lahu,
sounds like.
But you're saying it's like about you speaking about a stone. It's heaven.
That's the feeling that a mace has. Either that a mace doesn't hear it, or that a mace doesn't care.
Right, it doesn't bother me. You know, you want to say something bad about me, I'm not there, you know. And I'm not there to defend myself either in that respect.
True. It's true. But what's actually very fascinating about this Gemara is we often find the exact opposite approach. You have a person that, you know, I'll speak negatively about your whole life. But after a person dies, like, no.
They became a tzaddik.
Can't talk about it. But it's the exact opposite. When a person's alive, that's when the Isser of Lashon Hara and these things, when it comes after the person died, not that it's the right thing to do, but you're not, it doesn't mean anything. It's not as bad. Now, the reality is that based on the Meraglim, brought down in the Mefarshim, they asked a question that it's actually Gemara in Erechin that says, "Kam gedol kocha shel lashon hara." We learn how terrible lashon hara is from the Meraglim. Uma Meraglim shehotziu shemra. Who did they speak lashon hara about? They speak lashon hara about people.
No, they spoke about Eretz Yisrael.
Right, they spoke about land and an inanimate object. Al eitzim va'avonim, about stones, rocks, wood. But stuff in Israel, but it's referring to things, not people. So the question that they ask is Kol Masapra Chameis Kil Masapra Achreel Evan. So maybe that's also not so good, right? So he says, this is actually the Marsha says this. We'll see that in a moment when we get to the next piece of Gemara. But the Beis Yosef answers the Rishoyim B'Chayehem. We mentioned already in the previous Amud that even though a person who is alive, but if you're a Rasha, dead man walking, it's like you're dead, because you're not contributing anything positive to society. So someone who's a Rasha is, what are you contributing even in your lifetime? You're considered like you're dead. Therefore he says, V'im kein efsher shezek kavanos, this is the kavana of Rabbi Yitzchak. What did he mean when he said this? He said, Hamasaper achar hames. Kolomer Russia. So if you speak after, doesn't mean necessarily someone who's dead, as it sounds, but it could be a mace is referring to speaking about a Russia. Because a Russia, he's alive, and nonetheless, it's considered to be
that
it's like you're speaking to an
Evan. But an Ani is a dumb element. And an Ani does not be a bad guy.
Yeah, they don't give that answer. Whatever, so that's another explanation that doesn't mean, certainly you cannot speak about even an Evan. But when it comes to a Rasha, there's nothing wrong with speaking about a Rasha. That's, there's no problem. How certainly not the simple reading of the Gemara, it's very difficult to read.
How do we define Rasha?
He doesn't translate. I guess we have to use our understanding of more of Eros, or because your question is, how do I know that this person's a Russian? Okay. To be able to speak about them. It's true. So I would take my chances and not speak bad about anyone. That's what I would do.
You would think that would be almost an opposite, because, you know,
people tend to take the attitudes that other people have about them, and they become almost self-fulfilling prophecies. So somebody says that I'm being bad-mouthed anyhow, so what's the use? You know, on the other hand, if somebody says, you know, he's really not a bad guy, he's this, he's that, he's got these positive things. My mother, Shalom, used to say that if you have somebody who's giving you a lot of trouble, the best thing you can do is praise them and find good things in them and tell them how much you like them, and they're going to live up to it. They'll stop giving you trouble.
That's so, as opposed to a person who's dead, they're speaking to an Evan. If you speak negatively about a person, it will have a negative effect
because
on them.
Because there, it's still have an effect upon them with their Holchem, their Chaim. But the other thing is that I think that there's a general sentiment, there's a tendency among human beings to almost have like a superstition or a fear of speaking ill of somebody who's nifta, because they feel that they may be in a different domain and may have certain powers or things that we don't understand, and they're afraid to antagonize.
You're saying, so if you'd like that shot, what you just said, how a lot of society and culture feels, then you would maybe want to translate the word mace over here, not literal.
Remember, I
said something. Not a poor person, but maybe a Russian. So you can speak bad about a Russian, but not about someone, not to speak about the dead. Okay, so according to this, the Gemara, apparently it's not really such a terrible thing for a person who's misaper achar mace. So Ene, the Gemara says, what are you talking about? That's not so. I'll show you that one should not speak that way about anyone, even after they've passed away. Chom or Rav Papa, brought down by Rav Papa, he said, Chadishtoi Milsa Basri Demar Shmuel, that it once happened that there was a person, Ishtoi Milsa, who spoke something, probably negative, something bad, doesn't specify, about Mar Shmuel. So what happened when he spoke ill about Mar Shmuel, who had already since passed? The Nafakanya Mitlala, it fell a beam, Tolos Rashi says, Gag, from the roof, right? Mvaza Larnaka the Mumch, and it cut open and split, says Rashi Larnaka the Mumch, Kis Shehamoyach Munachbo, the
membrane,
which protects the brain. So that was a bad day for that guy. So the purpose of bringing down that story is that, how could you tell me, that's a question, that Kol Misaper Achar Mace is like you're only Misaper Achar Evan? What are you talking about? You're not allowed to do so. You speak negatively about someone, there's consequences, you get punished. Smurah says, you're right, but you're not so right. Shani Tzur B'Marabonon, the Kutchabrihu Tavibik, that the difference is, if you're speaking about a Tzur B'Marabonon, you're speaking about a Talmud Chacham, in that situation, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will avenge his honor. And therefore, by you slighting a Talmud Chacham, even after his passing, then in fact, you better watch out, because the sky will be falling, at least the roof will. However, when it comes to speaking about someone else, who in which Hashem and that person do not have such an intimate relation, then it's like you're being misaper achar evan. Then the Gemara continues, which is really a direct connection to what we just said. Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He says, Kol ha-misaper achar mitoson shel talmid chachamim. Anyone who speaks after the death, speaks negatively about the talmid chacham, noyful begehen. Not such a great thing. You'll be noyful begehen. You'll go begehen. Shneamar, as the Pasuk says, Amitim, and those who turn, which is really the word over here, mitasan shaltim chachamim, those who turn a kalkulosam in their crooked way, yolicham Hashem es poali oven, then Hashem will lead them to the poali oven, which Rashi says just translates all those words as third line, Gehenna. Shalom Yisrael. Will be peace upon Yisrael. So says the Gemara, Pil b'shash shalom Yisrael, Yolichem Hashem is Paul Yab. Even the time where there's peace for Klai Yisrael, Hashem will still bring this person to Gehenna. So before we That's the end of that little piece. So what is this Shalma Yisrael? Oh, great, this guy's in Gehenna. Let's have a big party. Well, what does that mean? So look at Tosos. Tosos says, Afil b'shosh Shalma Yisrael. How does this pasuk allude in any way to this person who is speaking negatively? So Tosos says like this. The fact that it says Shalom Yisrael, that there's still peace among people in this world, it must be that it's speaking about an individual who spoke negatively to about someone or about a Talmud Chacham after he had already died. So Oslin Suye Bahadehim Asakrim Biginusam, that those who spoke negatively, there is no quarreling, there's no machlokas. So Mahakamashmid Ari La Akhir Visa must be his after Visa. In other words, how could it say that the Pasuk is talking about someone who spoke negatively? Okay, fine, the person will go to Gehenna for speaking crooked in a negative manner, but why does it say Shalom Yisrael? Shalom Yisrael, after fighting and picking, you pick a fight, it's not going to be Shalom Yisrael. The answer is, if you're picking a fight with a mace, it's still Shalom Yisrael. That's how Tosus interprets why the Pasuk ends that way, is that he's really not trying to, he's not causing any real effect in this world, but nonetheless he will be punished for having spoken negative about the Talmud Chacham. Now, if you look on the side over here, where it says there's an asterisk by the word Mitasfin Shel Talmid Chachamim, and it says on the side, some of you may have very, very small font, it says Perish Achrim Mitasfin Loshon Hatoya, the language of turning, of movement. To a side, who kolomer nata haderach hayeshor means that you turned away from the proper path. That's the reason why it was changed to that you spoke negatively, or you turned away from the proper way of speaking about the Talmud Chacham. Then nofel b'gehenna. And the way that Rashi learns this word, that you turned, which is like the last few words on the third line, the Rashi, the second last Rashi. Is with regard to hatosa makavchayva, that instead of being done the kavschos, you turned and judged the Talmud Chacham even after his passing in a negative manner. Now it's interesting that the Mepharshim point out is that when it comes to, there's basically two gemaras. The first one we started off with says kol masaper achar meis, and this one doesn't say kol hamasaper achar. Mace shel Talmid Chachamim, Mace shel Talmid Chachamim Shibu Meitim. It doesn't mention that. Instead, it uses this different word, which has nothing to do with mace. As we said, Mitasan could mean it's turned. So the Marsha says like this. Let's take a quick peek over here. It's only a few lines, but the few Marshas that I get to look at in this paragraph, we're going to look at. So the Marsha says on page 10. On page 10 of the Marsha, so the top right, the Marsha which has a larger font on the top, and about 10 lines down there's a smaller font where it says Daf Yutes Amud Aleph. Okay, Kol Masaper Achar Hameis. Okay, that was the first command. It's like you're speaking about a rock, stone. Then it says, "Well, come on." Later on, which we just saw, Gavi Talmid Chachamim Omer B'Loshet Achar. Doesn't use the language of a mace. And the question is, why not? Kol masaper achar mitasa. And the way that the Marsha translates mitasa is not turn, but it comes from a mita. You sleep in a bed. A mita is a bed. So the Marsha points this out. And why is it when it comes to the first chazal, it mentions mace? When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, a tzaddik, it mentions a bed. The bed of a Talmud Chacham, or the casket, the aron of the Talmud Chacham. So says the Marsha, Mishlom Denichel Meimor Bohein Achar Hameis Hatzadikim. It's not good to mention the word mace and connect it to a Talmud Chacham who is righteous. Gam Achar Misasan Kiruim Chayim, because on the opposite way. The way that the first, some, as we saw, some learn in the first part of the Gemara, the second Gemara is that a tzaddik, even though they're physically no longer with us, but their righteousness carries on for future generations. That we're able to remember and to learn from what they did, even though they're no longer with us, that it's ki'ilu that they're alive. Not only do they have a positive effect in, while they were alive, but they can even have a positive effect on us now as we recall their greatness. Kanarinu el, the hainu denakud, almitasam, on their beds. Kilu shaykhmin chayin almitasam, as though they are just merely sleeping, like they're still, but they're still alive. So that's how that's what the Marsha says, that the sensitivity that the Gemara has is not to equate the Talmud Chacham, the Tzaddik, to Mis. Alright. Moving on. Questions? Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. So, it's really, even though there's the two dots are floating around here, there's really a different piece of Gemara altogether. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's say he didn't draw shades, whatever. Guy does an Avera at night. And it happens to be he's a Talmud Chacham, a well-respected individual. So, you should call up the local newspaper and blast him. Al tahar achara b'yoyim. So this is, again, this is connected to how we have to be extra cautious when you're dealing with the Talmud Chacham, not only while they're alive, but even after their Misa, we don't speak negatively about the Talmud Chacham. And the Gemara over here is saying that even if you see him doing a Veira, which is unlike the actions of what a Talmud Chacham, what a Tzaddik should do, al tahar achara b'yoyim. Do not think negatively about him during the day. Don't think that while the day has come that you should start speaking negatively about him. Why? He says, there's a slight chance, 50% chance, maybe he did tshuva. So therefore, you shouldn't be so quick to judge him. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Shema, salka daitoch. How could you say that maybe he'll do tshuva? Maybe the Talmud Chacham will do tshuva. Ella, rather the critical reading of this Gemara is Vada Yasa tshuva. Certainly he would have done tshuva. You shouldn't think, well, maybe he'll do tshuva tomorrow. Talmud Chacham? So he slipped. He's human. He made a mistake. But when it comes to the next day, he'll definitely do tshuva. There's no shiloh in your mind. And therefore, certainly Al Tahar, Achar. Gemara says, but it doesn't always apply. That's only things which apply to Devarim Shibagufo, things which apply to him himself. Of the Monon, when it comes to money, let's say, what was the Avera? You saw him go into a store and steal something, right? And it has a person's name on it. Until he returns it back to the master. So it's not enough that he does tshuva all day. But if you still see that he has the object in his hand, obviously he didn't do tshuva yet. He didn't complete the process, the entire process of tshuva. And therefore, the only time that you should be rest assured that he did tshuva, if it's something which you cannot visibly see, but if he still hasn't returned that object, obviously he's not a tzaddik. He didn't do the tshuva he should have done.
So what are we learning from this?
What do you mean?
We just discussed the concept of not speaking badly after someone's dead.
Right.
We then spoke about not just the regular person, but we're talking about Talmud Chacham.
Right.
And Talmud Chacham is always Chayim. And now we're bringing the concept that if you see a Talmud Chacham doing tshuva, don't talk badly about him.
Right.
That's self-evident. Don't talk badly, period. What is this new Indian?
Well, it doesn't say speaking, it says Al Tahar here. Don't even have a thought. Al Tahar Acharav, which is... So the first is speaking about guarding your Dibur, which that's hard enough. What I say, what I shouldn't say. This Gemara is saying you should even be careful what goes, filters in and out of our minds. That's how sensitive we have to be about the Talmud Chacham.
I find what we said before about saying a mace, okay, so Rasha, is very problematic. Because, I mean, who would we consider more of a Rasha than people? Who would we call Rasha? Esav HaRasha. He's known as a Rasha.
Right.
And yet, Yaakov Avinu was afraid of him because he said that that we don't know the scar of one mitzvah versus another, and maybe everything he did bad, maybe his excellence at Kibbutz Av Va'Em outweighs all of my mitzvah.
Right.
So since we don't know this, I mean, it's really hard to say that this person's a rasha. You don't know.
I mean, you could be talking about
a guy that from his gross appearance, you say, oh, this guy's a rasha. He does so many this and this and this. You could be talking about a lot of Vavnik for him.
Well, you're right. We cannot figure out and judge who is a Russia. And even if somehow you could, it's questionable. This doesn't mean it's a good thing to speak about them. But the point is, at least according to the Gemara doesn't even talk about that. We interpreted maybe that's what the word mace means in the first Chazal. It still doesn't mean that it's good to speak about a Russia. But it's like you're speaking about someone who's really has. There's nothing worse. What can you say bad about him? He's already a bad person. Like, how are you going to affect him anymore? He's already a Russia. So if the words that you say are going to have a negative effect on me, that's why you shouldn't speak negatively. But he's already negative. But it doesn't give you a right. It doesn't mean you should do it. You know, it's certainly not a good thing.
As I said before, it could dissuade him from doing tshuva because he feels too far gone.
But it's possible the idea of, if in fact, which is not the simple reading of the Gemara, that you're Masaf per Afriel Evan. So Russia, you can say everything, you can give them all the proofs in the world. I'm not listening to you, it's like a rock. It's like you're speaking to the wall. But certainly, it doesn't mean that's how you should give up on a person. Certainly you shouldn't speak negatively about them. But
Can a neshama do tshuva after the dead?
No. You can have an aliyah through different actions that are done in your schus here.
But doesn't Misa give you kapara?
Yes, but that was...
That was a Misa's base, and our Misa's base that gives you kapara, not necessarily a regular Misa. I mean, the whole union of Gilgulim, that people come back to until they get it right, supposedly, you know.
Right. But Misa being your kapara is because you're alive, and that's your kapara. But after you've already passed away, a month later, you can't do tshuva.
I was under the impression that the only thing that a mace can't do in the way of tshuva
yes.
is for chilul Hashem or failing to be mekadesh name of Hashem, which is the reason that we say the kadesh for thinking of a dead person. But I think that was restricted, that if they can't do tshuva about chilul Hashem b'fahesher. But I thought it was restricted to that.
I mean, there's certainly a mace certainly will has charat, which is a level of tshuva. You know, when they realize what they did and what they shouldn't.
A mace has charata.
Part of the agmas nefesh of looking at what they were able to accomplish and what they didn't accomplish.
So then that's contradictory to the point of saying that they're like an event where then I'm not listening to what you're saying.
That's because they can sense it within themselves, their own
so
loss,
here,
but not in this world to that world. They can sense what happened to them currently in the future world, but not that they in the future world.
They can't transform.
They may know what's going on, but they're not gonna. It's not gonna matter to them because they're gonna realize in. You know, the Olam HaEmes, that what you say, if you don't like me or you do like me, it doesn't matter. It's that because you're not the dying. You're not the one that's ultimately going to judge me. So I care less about what you think. It doesn't matter. Hashem is going to judge me based on who I am. And if I get, Hashem looks favorably toward me, it doesn't matter what you think about me. And vice versa. So that's how I think. I was trying to say, but look what the last piece over here brings down. Well, this idea that you have to do tshuva, that you're going to anticipate that they're going to do tshuva the next day. It's very interesting that it's brought down in the Sefer Koimitz Hamincha. It's about with regard to Parshas Korach that Korach v'Adasa were, their lovely plot. What they were planning on doing, rebelling. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to them and said, Boker v'yada, Hashem. By the morning you'll know. Right? So he brings down that it's possible that the significance of what he was saying is that he was hoping that by the next morning they'll have done tshuva, they'll have charata, and therefore they'll have changed their minds. You say, what is this, something magic? We know, what's the expression? I'll sleep on it, right? So I did the vera, I thought this was the right thing, I enjoyed it, that ataiva. But the next morning, you have charata, I shouldn't have done that, and you do tshuva. That's what a talmid chacham does. Someone who has the foresight is able to do so. And that's how some mafarshim learn, that's what Moshe was hoping Korach v'chol adasa would have. They're upset, you're angry now, you feel you don't just, you justly should, you should have had a position. In the morning, God willing, things will work out, and you're not going to have that, you won't be as upset. So that's one thought. Another, it says that the only time that the person has done tshuva is only ad demahad lamar, only once it was actually returned. Stole something, give it back. That is the only time that there's a complete tshuva. And the Mefarshim discuss an interesting Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara says that if you walk up to a woman and say, Hariyam Kadeshusli, Almanash Anit Tzadik, marry me on the condition I'm some big tzadik. So if you look at this guy who said those words, and he happens to be a Russian Gomor, rotten to the core. I don't know how they knew that. The guy is no tzaddik. And he says, marry me on condition that I'm a tzaddik. So the Gemara says that there's a chance that it's mikudeshes, that they're in fact married. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? How can you possibly say this person...
Right.
So the Gemara says, maybe he had a thought of doing tshuva, and therefore he was no longer a Rasha.
Yeah, but a thought is not actually doing tshuva.
Oh. So that's the question. That's the question that they bring down. In the name of Rabbeinu Yerucham, he says that in the event, let's say this guy, why is he a Rasha? He's a Ganav. Let's say he's a Gazlan. He stole. So, according to this Gemara, not this Gemara, but the Gemara in Kedushin, if a person has a machshava, right? He says like this. I'm sorry. The imhu gazlin, enu yochol lahachashit tzadik ash yoshas gzeil. Typically speaking, it's only until you return. This is what our Gemara says. Once you return that which you stole, v'yesh mafarshim shikivon shehiru lahashiv harihu katzadik. Some say that that's not necessary. That just as long as you have the hearer, the thought, I want to return this, even though it's still in my hand, you're automatically considered to have reached a level of tshuva to the extent that you're already considered to be a tzaddik. So this, he asked the kasha. So what's the kasha? The sarachian is how come over in our Gemara it says the only time that you can say that he did tshuva is only ad mahad lamari, once he gives the object back. But the Gemara over there, the way that some interpret it, that he's considered to be possibly a tzaddik, even though right now he's a Rasha, of Shemahirur Tshuva, having a proper thought, is sufficient, even though he did not give back the object. So, which one is it? Is it necessary for a person to give back the object to be considered no longer to have been connected to the to that Avera? So the Mefarshim explained like that. There's a few answers to this question. But the basic difference is the language of what this person said. The fact that the guy walked up, he's a Rasha Gomor, and he walks up to a girl and says, I want to marry you on condition of tzaddik. The fact that he said those words, it gives the impression that probably he might have already have had a hear her tshuva. He must have already been thinking about doing tshuva, because otherwise why did he, of all things, mention that condition on condition of tzaddik? Well, that could be the case as well. But the Mefarshim gather that the fact that at least he used those words shows that maybe on some level that was the hear her tshuva, that he wants to become a better person, maybe to impress her, but nonetheless he wants to improve her. However, in this situation, since it's not clear, you just saw a Talmud Chacham steal or whatever it might be, but he did not give any indication that he did tshuva upon this object that was stolen, therefore the only way that we can be rest assured is when you actually see him return it. Because we don't really see any level of hear her tshuva within him because he's not giving us any indication that that's how he feels.
Yeah, this Chacham Shomer Avera Belayla, maybe they're really talking about that he's an Avera Bein Adam Lamakom, and not Bein Adam L'Chavera.
It's possible. And that may be what it means, V'hani Mili B'Dvarim Shibagufo. Shibagufo may mean Bein Adam L'Makom.
Right.
And when it comes to Bein Adam L'Makom, that for sure he'll do tshuva. So something which is Bein Adam L'Chavera, they use the example of Mimona.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's specific to money, but it could be other things as well, which directly affect another person.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe you have to be more cautious about. But tshuva, so it's... That is possible. But the Mimona certainly is Bein Adam L'Chavera, right? You're dealing with not just Hashem. And doing tshuva to Hashem is not enough. You have to return the object. So again, according to this, some hold that it's necessary to go through, to see all those motions. But when you have someone that is sound sincere, then that step is also a level that he's considered possibly a good tzaddik. All right. Let's see the next piece of Gemara. We'll see a few lines up. Darmer Yishu ben Levi, v'chav dal mikomos, in 24 places, based in Menania, we'll find that a based in will put someone in Cherem, will excommunicate them, al kodarat, because of a lack of respect. And again, obviously, this is being brought down because of the previous Gemara. This is the connection, is how you have to be respectful to the Sirmer Rabbanan, to the Talmud Chacham. So, because of that...
This Rav is alive or dead?
What?
This Rav is alive or dead?
Doesn't specify. It doesn't specify. Maybe even dead. It doesn't specify. But one who does not show Kavod HaRav, in 24 places, there was excommunications instituted by the Beis Din. And if you want to know where the primary source is, the Gemara says, V'kulim shenidim v'mishna seim. They're all found in the Mishnayos. So you study Shas, go through the Shishi Sidri Mishnah, you'll find 24 different stories where a person showed a lack of Kavod HaRav. And Kavod HaRav, by the way, does not, as we're going to see, is not limited to a person. It could be a lack of respect to Kodesh Baruch Hu himself. That all 24 situations, we find excommunication. So, that was a very nice statement there, Rabbi Shimon Levi said. Now, for me, I would have just said, oh, wow, that's great, and have walked away. But someone who really knows their stuff, like Rabbi Lazar, questioned him on it. He said, Omerle, Rabbi Lazar, Hecha, where on earth do you find 24 places? And I'm pretty well versed in Shas, and I don't find 24 places in the Mishnah. So Omerle, so they turned, Rabbi Shimon Levi turned to him and said, L'chi tishkach, go out and find it. I'm going to spoon feed everything to you your whole life. Go out and try to find the 24 sources and come back to me. So Nafa, he went out, he did his research, duh. The eshkach plus, he didn't get the 24, but at least he got
three.
He got three. Not too close to 24, but it's probably three more than I would have found. So what are those three? Hamazalzel v'netilas yadayim, it was an individual. And each of these three will be explained in relatively decent detail. Someone who was disgraceful and did not show the proper stringencies upon washing one's hands. Masabra Acher Mitasan Shal Talmud Chacham. You see, again, it talks about the bed of the Talmud Chacham that spoke about something about the bed of the Talmud Chacham. And finally, Avahamegis Daitu Klein Pumalo, someone who spoke negatively in a very disrespectful way toward Hashem, which we'll see will be end up being Choni Hamayu. So Hamasaber Acher Mitasan Shel Talmid Chachamim Mayu. What exactly is this story? So did not we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says Hu Haya Omer. They used to say, which Hu Haya Omer happens to be a caveat of Mahalel, as we'll see in a moment. Ein Mashkin Loas Hagiores. V'lo es ha-meshechureres. The Chachamim Ormim Mashkin. There's a machlokus whether or not we will have these women drink. A woman who is a convert, or a woman who became freed, who was once a slave. So give her a drink. What's the big deal?
What?
She's not allowed to drink. She's going to die of thirst. So what is this talking about? So if we look in Rashi, Rashi says, "Ein mashkin." It says, "In kinala baala v'nistro." Let's say that she was secluded with another man. There was yichud, and of course she was married, and her husband brings her the basin so that she should drink the mesota. So we say it was a machlokas that, according to the opinion of Rakavim and Mahalel, they should not drink. Why not? After all, they were married. They were secluded with another man. So, and they're Jewish. So let them drink. So according to this opinion, looking at Rashi, because the Gemara doesn't tell us why, because the pasuk says the Bnei Yisrael, right? It says to the Bnei Yisrael. So Amar b'Parsha Pragla Eishes Ger ve'Eved Mishoch. The fact that it says Bnei Yisrael, which finds Bnei Yisrael many times, but those words, if you look at those psukim, are extra. And why is there extra psukim? It must be coming to be ma'ayit, to come to exclude someone. And therefore, who is it coming to exclude? It's someone, a Jewish woman, has to drink mesota. So for some reason, for whatever reason, Akavi Mahalo deduces that it's coming to exclude the Giyores as well as Mishachreres. So a woman who converted would not drink from mesota, right? Which maybe if you would hear that, you would hear that sock of Akavi Ben Mahalo and say, you know, a Giyores is like a second-class citizen. And maybe that would be very painful to hear such words, says the Gemara. The Amru Maisa B'Karkamis, that there was a story, Karkamis, Rashi says, Kach Shema, weird name, but that could be her name, Al Shem Koma, or it could be where she lived. So it says, Shivcha Mishachreres Mishalayim. She was a Shivcha who's freed, and therefore she would be under the same category as a Giyaretz, in that we would have a machlokas whether or not she should drink mesota or not. So what happened when the Shiloh came up to two people by the names of Shmaya and Avtalyain? The Shiloh was, do we allow them to drink? Do we hold like the Chachamim and allow? Or should we hold like the Kavi ben Mahal and not allow? So what does the Gemara say? Shmaya and Avtalyain had her drink the mesota. Apparently, they were under the opinion that unlike the way Rashi interprets the word Bnei Yisrael's Lepukis, to exclude that Eishas Ger or Mishachor, that she does drink. So on this, Akavi ben Mahal, in a heated argument, said something which maybe he shouldn't have said. The Amar Lahem, the Gemara says, that what did Akavi ben Mahal say to Shmai Naftalion? He said, Dugma Hashko, that it is like them that they allowed her to drink. What does it mean that it is like them? Because we know Shemaya and Avtalion they themselves were converts. Ah, so Shemaya and Avtalion, who knew that this was a machlokas, certainly would gravitate toward the opinion that we should treat a Gioras like a regular Bas Yisrael. And therefore, for that reason, that's the reason why you allowed her to drink. Because you didn't want to feel like yourself, like a second-class citizen. Well, the problem with speaking about Shemaya Naftalion and saying that the reason why they paskin like that is for their own motivations, that's something which shows a lack of kavod harab. And therefore, v'naduhu v'meis b'nidui. Since he did this, he was excommunicated, and he remained in excommunication until his death. And as the Woi Paskin, the Saku based in Es Arono, that they will stone the Aron of this person who was in Nidu, which is the Psak. When you die in Cherub, then that is the added bonus that you get your Aron stoned with stones. We'll conclude with this Tosus on the side. This is only story number one out of three, or possibly out of 24. So we have a lot more to do. Okay, so Tosa says that what did Akavi ben Mahalel, we'll see next week that it really was not Akavi ben Mahalel, the great Akavi ben Mahalel, the great Yerei Shemayim, who never spoke in such a negative way to such people, such as Shemayim Natanael. But according to the way Rashi says, which now let's look at Tosos, Dugmashka, Perish Rashi, Lefi Shahoyisa Gioras Kimosam Shahoyu Gerim, that since she is a Gioras, just like you two guys in Shema Naftalion, who are also converts, that's the reason why you allowed her to drink. Because you didn't want her to feel, or more importantly for you to feel, that there's a chiluk in any way between someone who was born Jewish and someone who converted. And therefore, that's why you did. It's also mashal like that, Tom Yusham. That Mahu Dugma Duchman. Fine. Now that's according to Rashi. But Tosus, the last three lines, has a different shot. The question is, that Tosus doesn't understand, is that if the whole, that Shemai Naftalion, if they really felt that they were not supposed to drink because she was a Giyaris, and that we paskin that way, they would never have broken the rules to have allowed them to drink. Oh, so I should feel good because I'm a convert, and therefore I'll feel good that, you know, that she drank and she's just a regular person, so I'm a regular person. Shemai Naftalion would never do that if, in fact, that was not the psak. It's very difficult. That's how Tosus doesn't like that the way of reading as Rashi did. And therefore, Tosus says, "Baruch Pirush Dugmashko" means like this: the appearance of the drink. It doesn't mean that it appears that you are like and you are similar. You are like her, and that's why you allowed her to drink. Rather, you provided for her a drink which had the appearance of that of Mesota. Because really, Shemai Naftalion felt, and paskin like a Kavi B'Mahala, that a Gioras does not drink Mesota. But what did they do? They gave her the appearance as though that she was drinking Mesota. Metzava, water which was had a dye, colored, right. To give her the feeling as though she was drinking Mesota. The truth is, it was nothing. She was just drinking whatever it was, colored water. Avlohayu morimamish. It wasn't really the bitter waters. Lomachu haTorah leha. They didn't erase Hashem's words, Hashem's name, or any portions of the Torah upon it. El liyira osa. The whole reason why that they did this was to scare her. Because if otherwise, I'm a gioras, so who cares? The whole law of sofa doesn't apply, so I'll do whatever I want. I'll seclude myself with another man. Who cares? What are you going to do to me? The laws of sofa don't apply. So Shemai Naftalion said, you know what we're going to do? We don't hold it. She's supposed to drink. But she doesn't know that. She's no bucky in halacha and all these things. We're going to give her something to drink, and she's going to be petrified, and therefore Shemai won't do it again. So what was bothering, according to the Meforshim, Akavi ben Mahala? That doesn't make sense. For a couple reasons. Because if she really did the Avera, that she really was with this man, she committed adultery, so she's going to drink this, thinking that it really is some powerful potion, and won't do anything, and then she'll say, this whole thing's a joke. Right. Not only that, the other concern is, what if other people knew that it really was, and they would see her doing it, and it would be a joke? Not only would she think it's a joke, everyone would think it's a joke. And therefore, the way that Akavi and Mahala is rebuking them, saying, you know, you shouldn't do this. Because even though on the one hand you want to put fear in her, but you're not going to put any fear in her. So therefore, it was wrong that you did so. At the same time, even though that it was wrong, maybe, the way that they did this, it was also wrong the way he spoke toward them. And for this reason, it's brought down that he was put in excommunication to the point that he died in Nidoy and his Aaron was stoned with stones. Stop here.